Tonight I want to talk about our awesome own time God. Now, if you have your Bibles or your devices, whatever you may use, and I will be putting the scripture on the screen for you as well, we're going to be in the Old Testament prophecy of Habakkuk. That's one of those, Hebrew words that are a little difficult to say, but the book of Habakkuk. And I'm going to read the first four verses of chapter 2. Now, before I read these verses, let me set a little biblical context here. Basically, the Lord is sharing revelation with this prophet Habakkuk. And Habakkuk's asking the Lord questions. And what he's learning is, God is saying, I'm going to send the Babylonians in and judge my people Israel. And Habakkuk engages him and basically is saying, Lord, why would you use wicked pagan people to come against your own people? You know, why would you allow them to have a victory? Why would you allow the wicked to prosper? Have you ever found yourself thinking that? Like, well, I'm serving God and I'm doing what I think I'm supposed to do, and it looks like people are just living in the world. They're just getting blessed left and right and they're not having any trouble. Well, Habakkuk, he's kind of entertaining some of that. And then the Lord goes on to tell him, if you read through the whole prophecy, goes on to tell him that, well, I'm also going to judge the Babylonians after I use them to judge Israel. When we get to chapter 2, in the middle of this conversation, I'm going to pick up verse 1. This is Habakkuk. He says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me. Because he's just asking him a question, you see. And what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets. Not the tablets that you hear in a lot. Not your iPad tablet, okay. Write it, make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. Verse 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. It goes on from there, but I want us to step into these four verses tonight just around the idea of, you know, waiting on God and trying to discern God's timing, because Habakkuk's really like, well, when's this going to happen? You know, when are you going to really bring an end to evil? And so from the 30,000 foot view of Habakkuk, you can stretch out the truth and the principles all the way to the end of the book, when everything's made right and all evil's eradicated and Satan's done away with for good, new heaven, new earth, etc. You can also apply it immediately to the context in which he's receiving it, concerning Israel being judged, and the Babylonians did come in like 584 B.C. and just run roughshod over the children of Israel, took them into captivity, etc. It can apply to that, and then God's subsequent judgment of the Babylonians, because one empire rises and then another one comes on the scene, overrides them and rises and so forth, and there you have the story of human history. Always trying to climb to the top, climb on others to get to the top and rule for a while and then so forth. But there's a principle there also very personally for us when we're dealing with the Lord about things in our life and we're needing to see breakthrough. There's probably a number of you here tonight. Why isn't my prayer being answered? Why hasn't it been answered yet? When is that prophecy going to be fulfilled that I felt like the Lord spoke over me through brother or sister so-and-so? When are things going to get better? I read the Word, but when's that going to come? And you can get into a place of discouragement, despair, and disillusionment, disappointment. And so what the Lord shares with Habakkuk here hopefully will encourage us tonight. Now, what I want to do is break these verses apart under three headings. We're going to see that there is a watching, and we're going to see that there is a writing, and then there is a waiting. All right? That's all in these scriptures. And we're going to talk about some truths around these three building blocks from this text tonight, okay? So it's really important because part of our developing and maturing more deeply in our faith and in our walk with the Lord is learning, of course, the Word of God and then the ways of God. And part of learning the ways of God is coming to an understanding of God's relationship with time. Because one of the things that gets us in a hard spot far too often is we're in a hurry and God is not. Now that's just the truth, right? And so we see a little bit of that in Habakkuk, and there's probably a little bit of that in most of us here tonight. So let's talk about the watching first. Look again at verse 1. I'll go back and let you see his. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me. Now, that's the watch part. Now, I want to talk about writing in a moment as well. Then verse 2, the Lord answered to me and said, write the vision. Write the vision. And we're going to talk about that and what follows. And then, as we move on, we'll get to the waiting part where he says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. It's not here yet. It's not here yet. It'll come, though it tarries, wait for it. There's the waiting part that we're going to talk about tonight. And then part of the waiting we're going to see is that phrase, the just shall live by faith. There's the right way to wait. All right, so that's your little Concord jet tour over the message. But now let's go back and talk about these three building blocks, okay? Let's talk about, first of all, the watching. Because Habakkuk is told to watch in verse 1. As a matter of fact, he's declaring that he's watching. We see him watching. He says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart. And the imagery here is like being on a city wall or on a rampart where you could see a ways, particularly militarily speaking, you know, a place of strength, of overview, and you're looking for the enemy coming. Here's a reference. The Babylonians are going to come. God's going to be moved. I'm going to set myself on the watch. And he goes on to say, and watch to see what he will say to me. So he's narrowing it down, let us know. He's watching to see what God's going to say to him. And the Lord's already been revealing some stuff. So this is applicable for us personally tonight. When I'm talking about watching, let's think of it in terms of positioning ourselves to hear what the Lord is saying to us. We have to be a people who know how to position ourselves to hear what the Lord's saying. Now, in a marriage, sitting at the breakfast table or wherever, you know, a husband and a wife will converse, and there can be a real imbalance if one's always doing the talking and the other has their face buried in the morning paper or in their, now the paper, forget that, in your smartphone. You know, it's important for there to be a speaker and a hearer. And so if we're wanting to hear what the Lord is saying to us, that means that our prayer life has to be something beyond giving the Lord our laundry list of what we need Him to do for us. There's a place for that. Give me this day my daily bread, right? Lord, don't lead me into temptation. Deliver me from evil. Forgive my trespasses. There's a place for that. But there's also the place where we have to learn to quieten our soul and quieten our heart and position ourselves to hear from the Lord. Now, you want to position yourself to hear from the Lord in the ways that you know that He speaks. Now, this is not a message on the ways that God speaks, but let me just throw a few truths concerning that. We know, first and foremost, He speaks to us through the Word of God. That should top your list of the ways that you're going to hear from the Lord. You see, you're able to filter out so much confusion and doubt and unbelief when you just read the Word. You settle it in your heart. This is God's Word. This is what God says. And what He says is true. And so by reading the Word, you are opening your heart for God to speak to you. The entrance of His Word gives light. And that's like if you walk into a dark room and flip the switch on, now you can see. We're living in a dark world. When you open your Bible and begin to read and light begins to shine, then you're going to be able to see some things that you could not see before through the revelation and illumination of the Word of God. His Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path and so forth. I shared on that recently. So part of watching to see what God is going to do, to hear what God is going to say, position yourself, is spend time in God's Word. Spend time in God's Word. Now, a little toe-step in here. How much time have you spent in the Word so far this week? Then, how much are you going to hear from the Lord? You see, we have to make room for God to speak into our life. Now, He's so gracious, sometimes He'll have somebody to dial you up and say, I got a word from the Lord, or there's a scripture on my heart for you. And that's great when that happens. And God does that, and that can be very powerful, but that doesn't take the place of your steady dieting or eating from the Word of God. Fill your heart. Fill your mind is transformed and renewed through studying and reading the Word of God. You know, a lot of us grew up in churches where that was so important, and I know we kind of joke about it now, you know, and I remember doing this as a child and as a teenager. I know when I was going to Sunday school, we were going to be asked how many of us done our daily Bible reading, right? And so, speed read, you know, out of an obligation, you didn't want to be embarrassed and so forth. Any way you can read, it's good. But what I'm talking about tonight is making room in your life for God to speak because you're making room for His Word. You prioritize that. Another way the Lord is going to speak is through His Holy Spirit. You know, but you know what I found so often? When the Holy Spirit speaks to me, it's often in reference to the Word I've previously read. The more Word you have in you, the more likely and more easily and certainly more clearly you'll be able to discern when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Because the Holy Spirit is not the only Spirit who will try to speak to you. So, you have to make room for the Holy Spirit. Again, if you're watching and you're wanting to see what the Lord's doing and hear what He's saying, you need to be in the Word. You need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Learn the voice of the Holy Spirit. And no one wants you to hear Him more than the Lord wants you to hear Him. So you should expect to hear from the Lord when you read His Word. Now, every day you may not get a zinger from heaven, but you will find that when you go before the Lord and you pray, Lord, I'm going to be reading Your Word, just speak to me out of Your Word, you'll be amazed at how much more relevant God's Word will become to you in your daily life. Later in the day, you'll be in a situation, and then the word that you had read earlier in the morning, all of a sudden now, is a treasure for you. Because it's nailing that situation. You know what God says about that. So it gives you confidence in making your decisions. The Lord can speak through other people. And usually that's people who have the Word in them and people who are hearing from the Holy Spirit. It all goes together. Sometimes the Lord can engineer, orchestrate, and use circumstance to send a message to you. The Lord can speak in visions and dreams and prophetically and so forth. So when we're talking about watching, he said, I'm going to set myself on the ramparts. I'm going to watch and see what the Lord is going to speak to me. So make room. Be someone who's on the wall watching. And of course, that terminology is often used as the role of an intercessor. You know, watching and seeing what the Lord is doing and the Spirit is saying. And praying, covering over the people you love, the church you attend, and your spiritual leaders, and the nation in which you live, and so forth. All of that's important. So, watching is really, really important. Positioning yourselves to see and hear is vital. Secondly, I want to talk a few moments about writing. I think this is very intriguing because in verse 2, then the Lord answered me and said, when did the Lord answer? When he was watching. The Lord answered and said, write the vision. This is the Hebrew word that really speaks of a revelatory experience where the root of the word means to see. To see, write down what I'm showing you, Habakkuk. Write the vision and make it plain on tablets. In that day, they had clay tablets, and archaeologists have discovered numbers of these clay tablets, and some from ancient Israel and some from one of the most fascinating finds to me is one of the finds from ancient Jericho that was on cuneiform tablets, clay tablets, where they would, if you can imagine, you know, smoothing out clay and then taking a stencil and writing on it and then put it out in the sun, it dries, and there it is, you know. Later they developed papyrus script and so forth, and now we've got all kinds of ways to basically, listen, to store and record information. And so he's telling Habakkuk, the Lord is telling him, I want you to write this down. I want you to record it. I want you to store it. In other words, put it in a form that others can see it. It can be shared. And we know that from what follows, so that those that read it can run. So, in other words, I'm giving you revelation and I'm wanting you to pass it on. But it applies to us, I think. It's important. Then when God speaks to us, I keep a notepad in my phone, and all through the week I'm making notes. Like when I go walking in the morning, I do my exercise, and I may be listening to a podcast, I may be listening to audio Bible, and something said and it'll spark an idea, I get my notepad and I'll write it down. And I have numerous unpreached sermon ideas in my smartphone. But usually through the week, the Lord will really be breathing on something, and I'll write it down, and then I'll ponder on that, and then something else will come. And I'll write that, and then something else will come, and it starts taking shape and form. People have different ways that they go about doing things, and that's how it works with me. But writing it down's really important. One reason I need to write it down is because sometimes I'll have those ideas, and I'm thinking, I won't ever forget this. And I proved myself a false prophet because I forgot it. So I'll write it down. And, you know, most of us have had dreams that we felt were from the Lord, you know, real vivid. it's kind of hard to describe, but usually when you wake up, you know that this is from the Lord, especially if you have a repeated type dream. But I've had those before, and I'd be in bed and think, this is too etched in my mind. I won't forget this. Then I get up the next morning, I'm scratching my head, you know. So even having, whether you use your notepad on your smartphone or a little notebook by your bed, it's a good idea to keep it there. So when you wake up, you can begin to jot down some, at least enough information to cue your memory. That's important. And I think this is interesting here because this is one of the places in the Bible where we get some insight into the process that God has chosen to bring His revelation in written form that we call the Holy Bible to us. He's telling Habakkuk, now what I'm showing you, what I'm giving you, I want you to write it down. Even though it's not for now, it's going to come, I want you to write it down. And one thing about the Jewish people and the scribes, the Jewish scribes, they were very meticulous about writing things down. Moses is, most feel that he was in the New Testament. Even Jesus verifies Moses as the author of most of the what we call the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. And here's another place in Habakkuk where we're seeing that God used men to write down the revelation He had given them so it could be passed on to other people. We have the scripture that Paul gives us about all scripture is God-breathed. Peter tells us that men of old were moved upon by the Holy Spirit and received revelation. That's another study that's interesting to dive into sometimes is how the canon of scripture came to us. But to me, that's a little interesting sidebar about this passage. It's just understanding, wow, this is how God, the same way God got the Bible to us. He said, make it plain on tablets. That can mean different things. I think of it more like, don't write like a doctor would for a pharmacist. write legibly, clearly articulate it so other people can understand. And I think that's important in our preaching to try to keep things plain and simple and more easy to understand. Make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. Now that shows us some urgency in the particular message that God was giving Habakkuk. You know, write this down because when folks read it, they're going to get ready to run. You know, now I want to principalize, if you will, make a principle out of this, that we want to write things down so that when we read it later, we'll start running after that revelation. We'll start running toward it to see it fulfilled. Not really what Habakkuk means, but it's a good application for us, okay? He says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. An appointed time. The very nature of prophecy is that it has a foretelling element to it. Not always. Something can be very prophetic and it's right for the moment. But one of the predominant ideas of prophecy is the telling forth of things that are not yet here, but that are going to come. And the Lord tells Habakkuk here, this is for an appointed time. Now, that's an interesting phrase, an appointed time. Listen, there's some things that God appoints a time for. And when that time comes, it's going to happen. That's the sovereignty of God. He moves a lot of those chess pieces around. And there's certain things that are going to happen when He says they're going to happen. It's an appointed time. There's some things that will happen when we do what He says we're supposed to do for them to happen. Okay? And God's appointed when we do them, there's blessing. There's also seasons that God appoints. Kairos moment is an appointed time. It's a time when God's willing to do things that He won't do until that time. But it doesn't mean necessarily they're going to be done. It means it's a time of opportunity. You have the opportunity to see God do something. Well, sometimes we see that in our services when the Holy Spirit moves in certain ways. That's the time to step in, and you're going to see things happen that you wouldn't normally see happen. Because it's like breaking open of a Kairos moment or a Kairos season. God is here, and God's wanting to do something specifically. And if we can step in obedience into that, we can see the reward and fruit and success, if you will, of doing what God says. And Habakkuk's told, this is an appointed time. In other words, those Babylonians will come, and I'm going to deal with Israel. And then a time's going to come, I will deal with the Babylonians. And the overarching theme of Habakkuk is, there's evil out there. God, when are you going to do something about it? Christians are mocked about that. Well, if God's a good God, why does He allow evil in the world? Well, if God's so powerful, why does He allow suffering? Well, if God's really who you say He is, how come the devil can do what he does? You see, and so Habakkuk's encouraged by the Lord, listen, there's appointed times. I will deal with Israel. I will deal with the Babylonians, and beyond that, I will deal with the issue and problem of evil in the world at the appointed time. That's like Jesus is coming back at the appointed time. And somebody recently has come out. And I mean, I get emails that they're announcing when the tribulation is going to begin, which means, you know, if you're pre-trib, that's when Jesus is coming back. And they set the date. Listen, if you're listening to somebody that's telling you the day that Jesus is coming back, to mark it on your calendar, throw that in the trash. Jesus says, no man knows the day nor the hour. Now, there's signs of the times. Guess what? Today, we're a day closer than we were yesterday. I mean, we're getting closer all the time. But don't get off on the tangent of people who's telling you they know stuff that Jesus doesn't even know. Read Acts 1. When they ask Him, He said, That's the Father. The Father's the one that determines that. Now, I don't understand how all that works out, but I have full confidence in our God that he does know how it works out, okay? So, it's like some people feel like they've been given God's day timer, and they know all this stuff that the Bible tells us we can't even know. Run! Just saying. So write the vision. We have a journal of prophecies for Grace House. I know Mickey's been updating it lately. We got a stuff like that, and I think we have copies in our prayer room where people can just go in there and just read them and pray over them and be stirred up. And it's encouraging. And through the years, we've seen words that we've been given, how God has fulfilled those. And often, when it happens, it's fulfilled, but it's different than you thought it would look like. You know, we see in part and we know in part. God doesn't have a vision issue. He sees all the parts. He sees in totality and fullness. And what a grace gift when He opens a window and lets us see a piece of it. That's to encourage us. That's because prophecy will comfort, prophecy will encourage, and prophecy will exhort. And a lot of prophetic words are really exhortation. They're to encourage you onward. They're to encourage you forward. Some are to comfort. That, like, maybe you're in a tough season and you're battle weary and all of that, and they comfort you. They reassure you. They instill and inspire hope. And so all of these things are really, really important. And so when that comes, write it down. Write your dreams down. Even when you're reading a scripture, if the Lord's speaking out of a scripture to you, write that reference down and write down what you feel like He's saying through that. Because if he's sharing something with you, there's a purpose behind that. You're going to need it. It's going to be another tool in your tool belt. So keep it nearby. And Paul told young Timothy, you even do warfare, spiritual warfare, with the prophecies that have been spoken over you. I want to encourage you to do one other thing, too, in just as an application of this section on writing, this building block. I was thinking about this earlier today. I want to encourage you to take some time and make you a list of 10 things. Be 10 lessons, 10 truths. For instance, maybe you're a parent, you have children or grandchildren, or if not, then you have a close friend or family member. If you were to leave behind a top 10 list of things concerning your walk with God and the lessons you've learned, to leave as a legacy for your children or grandchildren or friends, what would be on that list? Write that down. Store it away somewhere for someone to read later. I mean, you may revise that going forward, or you may add to it. But I think that's something important that we can do, is to try to leave a legacy for our family. You know, one of the things that I've done for years now is, and this is on my mind because one of my children had a birthday today. Our youngest turned 28 today. I know Mickey was having children at 10 and 11 years old. Just kidding. But he turned 28 today, and so I always write a birthday letter. And I will include scriptures and encouragements and just counsel in it. You know, it's usually a page long or so. But I think that's important for us to, more important, sit down and talk, look eye to eye, but also to leave things for your children to know about you, your journey, your testimony. So maybe that can spark some interest in you, just begin that top 10 list, and maybe it can grow from there. You know, I just think that's important. I'm really trying to bless my children. I fear, because I've saved all the tapes and CDs and now flash drives, thanks to Mike Sledge, Lord bless Mike, all the sermons I preached. And one of our moves, I had like boxes of cassette tapes. And Mickey said, you need to just throw those away. I mean, that it really pierced me very deeply. I mean, really hurt me. But I think she may be right. I can't imagine them ever sitting down and listening through those, particularly the early years. Number one, they wouldn't be able to recognize my voice or most of the English I was using. So I need to finish this up. Sorry. Last one, waiting. This is really one of the main things we find here, where he says, so the vision is yet at an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. In other words, it hadn't happened yet. Though it tarries, wait for it. You can almost hear, how long, O Lord? When? What else do I have to go through? When, Lord, when? Though it tarries. Got any tarriers here? Not tarriers, tarriers. Wait for it, he says. Because why? It will surely come. It will not tarry. God watches over his word to perform it. Sometimes it's not happening because we're not ready for it to happen. Sometimes it's not happening because whoever God's going to use is not ready for God to use for it to happen. Sometimes it's not happening for reasons we do not know. And here's the kicker. Some of the things that we're waiting on will never happen until he comes back. We see this in the scripture. Our blessed hope rests on the fact that Jesus is coming back. That's what his second coming is called, our blessed hope. You may be waiting on someone to be saved. You keep praying. The appointed time for salvation in Scripture is now. Today is the day of salvation. That's the time marker God puts on getting saved. I really want to get saved, but I know He's not going to save me till I'm 3 years older than I am right now. No. Today is the day of salvation. You know, when the Spirit of God moves on your heart, say yes, confess the Lord. When the light shines, step into it. But waiting is one of the most difficult aspects of the Christian life. And as I mentioned in the beginning, we're upset when we're in a hurry, and God is not. God is never rushed. He's never hurried. You can't arm twist Him and get your way. You can't barter and bargain with Him to speed things up. God can and does speed things up. He can add momentum to something. He can take a process that usually takes, I don't know exactly how long that it takes for crushed grapes to turn into wine. But God turned water into wine. I mean, He didn't even need the grapes. Boom, just like that. God can move miraculously and speed things up. I had a message that I preached years ago, and I've never forgot the title. The title is, When Finally Suddenly Comes. And that's often the way it is in our walk with God concerning His timing, that finally, it's suddenly here. It's just all at once, boom, things shift and change. You may have been waiting for years. It may not look like there's any evidence that God is doing anything. You may be discouraged. You may think, well, maybe I missed this, or maybe I misunderstood the Word, or maybe they were wrong. And I mean, boom, in a moment. God can move, turn things around, and when that happens, your vision is cleared, and you can look back, and you can see how God did this, that, across time, using Him and her and they and them to bring it all together into an explosion that was a huge blessing in your life. But until that suddenly, finally comes, or the finally, suddenly comes, when that happens, until that happens, you're waiting. You're in wait mode. And most of us have trouble waiting for the light to turn green. Much less a Joseph who gets a powerful revelation and it's 20 years later that he sits and sees his brothers bow before him, or a David who gets oil poured on his head and announced that he's going to be the next king, and it's 20 years later before the crown is put on his head. Sometimes the most weighty, powerful, big-picture words that God has for your life is going to take some time. But they come to encourage you and thrust you toward your future. And between then and when that thing arrives, that's called boot camp, prep time. That's when God's grinding on you and polishing and sanding and chopping away, pruning, getting you ready for what He has ready for you. That's what preparation is. God is getting you ready for what He already has ready for you. We're not waiting on God. He's waiting on us. And it's just the truth. And I think Scripture bears this out. And thank God, He peppers in plenty of times when He's just blessing you left and right. And you know, there's no reason for it other than He's a good God and a loving Heavenly Father. But along with that, there's going to be times and seasons when it's sluggish and it's slow. But you have to believe, like the Lord told Habakkuk, though it tarries, you wait on it. It will surely come. It bottom line is in the last phrase when He says, the proud, his soul is not upright in him. In contrast to that, the just, that word just really means righteous. The righteous person shall live by his faith. And listen, the way that's worded there, it's not the just shall live by faith. It's the just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by her faith. God wants to build into us a depth of faith. And the Hebrew word for faith there, in its purest sense, means you trust God. Though it's not happening, though you don't sense it, though you don't feel like it's close, though there's no evidence, you trust God that it will end up at the appointed time just like God said it would. Because God is not a man that he should lie. So that trusting that we find in Job, who said, though he slay me, I'm going to trust him. Abraham, who was willing to offer his son Isaac, Hebrews tells us, believing if he had to kill his own son, that God would raise Isaac up because God had promised that through Isaac he would be blessed. That's how powerful Abraham's trust was in God. The three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. We don't know whether God will deliver us or not. But even if he doesn't, we will not bow. We're going to believe God. And Habakkuk, he goes through this list of though the fig tree doesn't blossom and the grapes don't bring forth the fruit and so forth, yet I'll trust God. I'll believe God. You see, we are not called to be moved by what we see with these natural eyes and what we hear with these natural ears. We are called to live by righteous judgment. And that is with our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears, where we receive revelation from the Lord and are able to see what we could not otherwise see, able to hear what we could not otherwise hear, and able to know and understand what we otherwise could not know and understand. Revelation is by the initiative of God. We position ourselves so that we can hear if He speaks, so that we can see if He shows us something. You don't twist God's arm to get a word. You don't write a check to get a word from God. God is the initiator of revelation. And it is a blessing and it is an honor when He would choose to unveil His heart and reveal something to us of His persons, His plans, or His purpose. What a gift, what a moment that is for that type of illumination to be given us. We should not do anything but treasure that, honor that, cling to that, and honor that. It's not something trite. It's not something trivial for the God of this universe to choose to reveal something to you. It's a treasure. Write it down. Make it plain. And though it tarry, you wait for it. I'll tell you this in closing. If God never did another single thing for you and me until Jesus comes back, and we stand on those promises and we're not seeing a single one of them coming forth, the moment that you look up, and there He is. This scripture. Though it tarries, wait for it. This scripture, you can rest assured, you will not be disappointed. You will have not a single regret for having continued to stand on the promise of the Word of God. Paul clearly writes and tells us that we're all waiting for the redemption of the body. We've been redeemed from our sins. We've received a new nature. But these bodies, they're headed toward dust in the natural. But we're going to get new bodies. We're going to be suited for eternity. We're going to get a new heaven. We're going to get a new earth. And though it tarries, wait for it, for it will be just as He said it would be. Would you stand with me? Father, thank You for this time tonight. Thank You for this simple truth that we find from Habakkuk. Lord, Help us to be people who watch and are positioning ourselves to receive revelation from you. Lord, help us to be people who are writers, who record and write down what you say to us so that we can retrieve it. Lord, help us to be people who are good at waiting. Trust in you no matter what's going on around us or what's going on within us, that the strongest thing about us is that we're trusting God. Father, bless my brothers and sisters tonight. I thank you for their presence here. And I pray for those, Lord, that have a need on their heart and who need prayer. I pray that those needs would be touched tonight. Bring us back together this coming Lord's Day. Speak to us this week as we're in your word. Breathe upon us, Lord, as we spend time with you. And help us to be faithful, Lord, to share what you share with us with others who need it, that we come in contact with. Lord, we just want to thank you one more time for how good you are. And thank you for speaking to us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I appreciate you being here tonight. I'm going to ask some of our prayer team members to come on up. They'll be here to pray for you if you have need of prayer tonight. Just feel free to come on up. Feel free to hang around fellowship. God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of the week. See you on Sunday, this coming Lord's Day. God bless you all.